You're listening to SBS News.
Do you feel with the current situation that we're looking at, look, we've just recorded 75 deaths as a nation from COVID-19. Do you feel that we're actually in this is probably the worst wave that we've ever gone through before, if you're looking at numbers. Do you feel, though, that we're better prepared than we ever have been, or in a better position than we've ever been before?
Well, you're certainly right. This is really the worst we've been in as a nation in the 2 years of COVID. And these are not just statistics, these deaths. There are over 1,000 people who've died in the last 4 or 5 months alone, and something like 70 people today. Well, that's 70 families who are mourning the death of their parents or their wife or husband or children. And this is happening every day. So I see a lot of people say these figures will bounce around. Well, it's a very inconsiderate and rather rude thing to say about people who have gone through the worst possible experience thanks to COVID and thanks to the policies, really, that have allowed the cases and hospitalizations and deaths to skyrocket since the supposed opening up and end of COVID in the middle of December. This is not a great achievement for Australian public health policy. And I'm afraid to say that as we look into 2022, there are still settings that need to be changed. People must have access to RAT tests free at the point of delivery to them. We must upgrade the masks to N95 standards, the highest possible standards, because we know Omicron is spread so easily in aerosol. And there's got to be financial support, let's be frank. I think anybody who's walked through our major cities in the last couple of weeks will have seen the distressing number of four lease signs, the businesses that have gone out of business, and the great pressures that are being placed on the workforce. So all of these things have to be part of a very much upgraded response in 2022. The governments of Australia made a big mistake in believing on the 15th of December that they could just let it go, that they no longer had a duty of care, but they changed the policy from protection, that is the least possible number of cases consistent with the facts of the virus, they changed that from protection to infection. And we're living with the consequences now and into the foreseeable future.
Do you think that what do you think they should have done differently? Do you think if they had been more prepared that we would be in a better situation? Do you think it would have been fine to open up had we been more prepared?
Well, of course, in the end, we have to accept the reality of the virus. I accept entirely that we need to prepare and protect ourselves to the very greatest extent that we can. Omicron is certainly much more infectious and is going to infect more people, and it's very hard to keep out, even behind closed borders, as we see in China. That having been said, however, there is no excuse for the way in which the federal government refused again to place an order for the rapid antigen tests from the middle of last year, when that was being called for not just by public health experts, but by business groups, because they could see what was coming. Everybody could see what was coming. There's no excuse for that to be delayed. There's no excuse for the dilatory way in which Otago has gone about its responsibilities in being slow to have the third shot put out there. And that's had very serious ramifications. I know in New South Wales, the third shot doses are not where they ought to be. And they're the full protection, as much as we can have, to this virus. So yet again, it's been slow, reactive. The people who seem to be most surprised in this country about preparing in advance of problems are the federal government, New South Wales government, and the advisors around them. Because in the rest of the world, people prepared. They saw it. Now, this is a very great failing in the way in which we've run the public health system. And as we go forward in this year, we zoom through 2 million cases in a matter of months, and we're on track to record extremely high levels of cases this year still. Now, that imposes a one-off, or one big ratchet up on demand in the public health system, and that's got to be funded. And that's a lot of money that's got to be put on the table to upgrade our public health system just to cope with the consequences of allowing the caseload to shoot out of control, not having enough tests to protect people at work and going to school and so on, which will mean the caseload will go up, not upgrading the masks and not making it free for the people who, in the end, whose taxes pay for this, so that they get access to these extremely important devices on the basis of clinical need and requirement, not on the basis of capacity to pay. So a lot has to be done to reform the way in which we're going to deal with COVID going into the third year of this. Who wants to keep on going with a fourth and a fifth year? But in the end, these are the policies decided by the Australian governments. And let's be frank, these policies have not worked nearly as well as they ought to, and certainly not in terms of delivering as they did at the end of last year. The idea that on the 15th of December, we're on track for a COVID-free Christmas and the economy was going to boom as if the pandemic was over. Well, it's not over. I hate to say it. And we've got to be very alert. We've got to be ahead of the curve. We've got to protect our people to bring down deaths and hospitalizations and cases to the lowest possible level, not just to let it run and see what happens. That's a failure.
I've got two more questions. So my first one being, there's been a lot of reaction about how Western Australia is, the fact that they're still not opening up to the rest of the country. Do you think Mark McGowan is taking the right leadership, and has he made the right decisions, do you feel, to protect his community, or do you think it's being a little bit overzealous?
No, I think he's right to do everything he can to protect the very good health outcomes they have in Western Australia. Obviously, the hospital system has to be further strengthened, and they've got to have testing, treatment, checking, surveillance running at a very high level. Now, eventually, Western Australia will have to allow people to move across the borders. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But the question is, when do you do that? And I suppose the Premier and the West Australian people thought that the governments of the eastern states had it well in hand when they moved on the 15th of December. And then they saw the shambles that's resulted in the last 5 or 6 weeks. Not enough RAT tests, not enough masks, not enough ventilation in areas. It seems to have got out of control and out of management. So, and the caseloads went up to very high levels, 100,000 more a day. So I guess the Premier of New South Wales, of Western Australia, was being very prudent to say, well, maybe we have to do a lot more than we thought we had to do. And I hope, of course, the West Australian government gets on with that. And then when they do open up, as they will have to, and they seem to have cases Omicron there at the moment, just so long as they control and manage it and understand what is going on, not this free-for-all that was indulged in New South Wales, where basically the testing and tracing system collapsed. Nobody really knows what the case numbers are in most of Australia, because people are not returning enough of the RAT tests and having them to give us a really clear indicator of what the case numbers are. We just know that they're probably more than is being reported today. So the West Australian government, I think, is to be commended, but of course to move to a more open situation as soon as they can.
My last question would be, how are you feeling about the return to school next week for students across New South Wales, Victoria, across the country, really? Millions to return to the classroom next week.
Well, the core question there is about how the vaccinations are going. We accept that children have to be vaccinated, but thanks to the very slow rollout and approvals by Atagi and the governments at the end of last year, the schedule for vaccinating children is way behind. Now, the opening date is just a date on the calendar. The Queensland government has put it back 2 weeks so that more children can be vaccinated. It's clear from what the New South Wales health officer, Dr. Chance, said that going back in New South Wales as planned on the first week of February will increase caseloads. And again, that sounds easy to say, but if two or three children in 100 in a school of, say, 400 become ill, well, that's 8, 9, 12 children. And it's a distressing thing for them and for their parents. And, of course, it's not very good for the spreading of the virus. Now, I think the idea that RAT tests are only going to be provided for the first 4 weeks of school, as in New South Wales, is a shocking statement. These tests must be made free for as long as is required to secure the schools. So I can understand parents are apprehensive. I think more needs to be done on ventilation. And certainly there needs to be much greater surveillance of the schools when they open up to make sure that the least possible damage is being done to our children and to the staff.
Professor Botel, thank you so much for speaking to us at SBS Radio.